Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. As we continue on allowing our hearts to be affected by the Holy Spirit and allowing the joy of the Lord to be our strength, we enter into proclamation of His Word. And this is very important, but again, I believe worship is what we were created for. We weren't created just to get into the Bible. This actually lets us know how to worship. And it helps us to see who God is so that we worship Him in spirit and truth. And the teachings that God has revealed of who He is and how to do this thing called following Jesus Christ. Boy, I am so glad for the Bible. Anyone here can get off track really easy, like in a matter of a day or two. Like if you're on your own, you can... Just me? I'm the only one. Okay, I got a few. I mean, that's just who I am, I guess. I don't know, but if I'm not in God's Word and I'm not meditating on His truth, I go sideways and my thoughts go haywire and a depression or despair, whatever it is, just all chaos breaks loose. And I just wonder, I didn't come to Christ till in my 20s, and I just wonder what it was. Well, I kind of do remember what it was, and I'm not going to glorify that part of my life, but it wasn't God that I was using to go ahead forth in life, and I'm so glad to now know who He is, and I proclaim Him because He has asked me to preach His Word and to guide His people, and I humbly have accepted that. And so I want to have you open that Word up today. We're going to enter into Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and as much of this world today has splintered into an infinite amount of belief systems, everybody has a little tweak on this and a little change on that. One person might feel a certain way about something passionately, and I respect different people's viewpoints, by the way. I don't try to bash somebody because they believe in something. I believe they're actually passionate about different things, and I respect that. So some might feel a certain way about something that another person has really not even a thought process about, and a different view entirely. And people are very different that way, but much of society, with their different opinions, really is a blessing because it's a mark of free thought. It's a mark of us having free will that God has given us. That free will was a gift of God. I've explained that often, that because God has given that free will to us, now us to love Him, it becomes a choice. And that's what true love is. You're not really loving somebody if they're forcing you to. And so that gift of free will has made us choose life or death. And so when we choose God and we choose life through Jesus Christ, it's showing our love. But there are some things that our opinions really just can't rationalize. Okay, so we might have some thoughts and opinions, and just to get here, I'm just opening up a little bit, but some of you may have thought of things like, what's up with those people that just believe everybody's going to heaven? Or they believe, really all belief systems are really all the same. The one God, all different names. They validate these thoughts, these isms, you know, maybe as universalism, inclusivism, pluralism. It's just this kind of bunching all these thought processes into one. And I find that kind of strange because it doesn't take much reading to look at what Jesus said and what reincarnation teaches to know that there are glaring differences in those two viewpoints. And so I get to maybe question as to why someone might think that what you believe is the same as what I believe, and we can all just get along, we're all going to the same place. One can't have a belief system where in one hand they celebrate all the different religions and philosophies and systems, and then on the other hand expect to adhere to some moral points that they have. Because if I don't share those moral points, why do I have to come in by your side? If I want to kill something, if I want to rape something, if I want to pillage something, and I feel that that's what I want to do, and it makes me feel good, who are you to say? Do you see where it starts to break down? So we have to have some points, and somebody has had to have stated those points, and there has to be some benchmarks, and I've illustrated that before, and we believe that's the Word of God. And what I'm coming to the point is, loved ones, is I'm coming to this. All worldviews are exclusive in some way. All worldviews, all religions are exclusive in some way. So if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you need to know some things about what you believe in. You have to know your talking points, you have to know your facts, and you have to know the concrete ground that you stand on. We don't stand in a sea of waves being tossed to and fro. We have some things that are concrete. That truth is not relative, and truth is true whether you believe it or not. And I can grab hold of that because of God's revelation to us. Some points for us as Christians to know. Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus claimed to be God. Nobody can deny that. Read the Gospels. You'll see him say, I am God. I am. Another one that the Bible teaches about sin and the complete plan for salvation. It's not just an oops. It's not just a problem and we'll just kind of make it better. We're not just improving. There is a problem that has caused an infinite amount of death and destruction, and there's only one way to fix it. That's what the Bible teaches. Also in Christianity, we know that the factual evidences in the Bible are backed up by reality, about archaeology and historical fact. This isn't just stuff that was made up, and we kind of gathered some ideas and some philosophies, and this is what I think, and this is what I believe, and I'm some guru now, and now are you going to follow me? Jesus was not a guru. He wasn't a good moral teacher. He wasn't some magician. He wasn't some guy back in the Jewish time that they called rabbi. He was God. And he was the awesome incarnation of the Almighty who came down to earth to fix the problem that's called sin. Anybody getting excited? You all kind of looking at me. Are we getting excited about you had this problem and he came down to fix it? It just breaks my heart to know of what I've done against him. And to know how I maybe take that for granted. And maybe how I come up here hoping to maybe say some things to wow somebody. And I just want to lay my life down and say, God, I'm sorry. And I didn't mean it. And I know who you are. And I know what you've done. Forgive me. And you know what the good news is? Because I have come to that point a few times. You know what he does? He says, I forgive you, son. I forgive you. Let me pick you up again. Let me clean that garbage that you kind of spread all over yourself. And I'm going to clean you up again. And I'm going to give you another chance. Loved ones, that's the Christian walk. No other worldview comes close to this understanding of God saving the world. And so as we come to understand Christianity as that, let's just not be wishy-washy about living out our faith. We should get ignited by a fire that is passionate. A fire that is hot and a fire that lights the way of the darkness. And it's okay to be bold in your proclamation of the gospel. You don't have to worry about offending somebody. If they get offended, you can walk off and say, I will pray for you. But loved ones, don't let yourself be mincing words. Give the plain truths and give the understanding of sin and repentance and the cross and the blood. The blood. Who? We don't like to hear about the blood anymore. That's dirty. We have some pictures on our Sunday school, the fellowship that we do, and blood all over the place, and we kind of have a hard time with that. Don't be afraid of the blood. The blood is flowing still from Calvary. It's the good news. So I want to talk to you today about walking out your faith. Walking out your faith. Let's pray. Father God, light a fire. Light a fire that will not go out. Lord, last week we celebrated that Pentecostal outpouring some thousands of years that, Lord, it's never stopped. And so in your church here in Countryside, ignite it again and again and again. Fan the flames of passion to go forth for the proclamation of the truth, God. We need you so desperately. Inhabit this time. Let your words go forth. And may your kingdom be advanced. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 One of the greatest milestones, excuse me, let me get my breath now. One of the greatest milestones in a baby's life, anybody has had children or been around baby brothers or sisters or just been around babies, one of the greatest milestones that parents look forward to is the time that they get up and they do what? They take their first step. They walk. They get up and they walk. It's the time where their strength and their coordination and something in their mind says, no longer of this infantile support system that I've been holding on to for months now, wishing I could get over there, but mommy just holds my hand. I'm going to go over there. And they get some kind of will from some wonderful place of God. And they take that place of step, that faith, walk of faith, and they begin walking. And what an awesome time. We've seen that many a times, and many of you have seen it. It brings a smile, but also you're kind of like, uh-oh, what have I gotten into, right? It's like, here they go, and off they go. And so what a wonderful picture as we as Christians, as believers, take that great step that all believers should and beginning to walk on our own. To be able to get out from being fed spiritual milk into eating spiritual meat and grabbing hold of your faith. And, you know, when you first get saved, if you're saved later in life, especially 20s and 30s, you've been a sinner and you've lived that sin and you've been dirty and you get saved, right? You come to the cross and you get zealous for the Lord, right? You come into church and you start telling your family and your friends and everybody's like, whoa. And, you know, they kind of tell you all those things. It's a phase and all that stuff. But you know what? You're on that milk. It's really high protein, high fat, giving you that encouragement. 1 Corinthians 3:2, I want to go to, and let's look at that as it says, should be up on the board there. 1 Corinthians 3:2 says, if I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Paul was talking to the Corinthians about that energy food, and he was saying it's about time to move forward. You see, you can't just live on that milk. That milk is for babies. And so what we need is what's understood as a spiritual maturing. But maybe for some, Christian growth may not really even matter to you. For some here, it might have something to do with, look, I'm not even a Christian. Someone listening right now says, that's great what you're going into, but it doesn't apply to me. I can honestly say I'm not a Christian. For others, some are content with formal Christianity. I kind of come to church, I kind of do my thing, I even read my Bible and pray. I'm just coasting. And for others, it may be a backsliding issue or a spiritual rut that you're just kind of down and maybe even questioning that faith that lit your fire so hot a season ago. And really, it should be seen in all Christians continually, this maturing, this growing, this desire. So I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 16, and we got to look at what God's word says about walking and what it says about maturing, because if not, we come up with our own thoughts and we get skewed, and well, let's just look at what God's word says. I'll go ahead and read quickly through chapter 5, 1 through 16. Follow with me if you're able. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who slumber, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The word of the Lord is very clear here. So I want this first point, go ahead and write this down, that we as maturing Christians are to take our steps in walking in love. It's time to walk in love. Now, for many people, being a loving person, it really might not be a no-brainer. There's a lot of pretty nice, loving people out there. And, you know, they might love their parents. You know, some children are really good at that. Into adulthood, they're taking care of their parents. Some, they may really be good spouses. They love their spouses. Some may love their siblings or their friends. Others might even just love their dog. I love my dog. But the love of the Bible is not an emotional love. It's not a love that created between two human beings. The love of the Bible is very different in that it is proved in actions, and this is the agape love, and ultimately in the actions of God. It's the actions of God that prove this type of love. It is the living out of the love that is intended for us as human beings to embrace. We talk about on Wednesdays mercy, that love and compassion. But then mercy is that doing, that acting, that actually reaching out in the action of loving somebody. So to love your spouse then really comes to act out a love for them for a lifetime in the ups and downs. Anybody have wedding vows they might have said on that altar at one time? Or maybe you've been in a wedding, you've heard, you know, good times and bad, and you know, all these long, long time periods and different circumstances, rich and poor, good and health and sickness. You see, this is the action of biblical love, because God made marriage, by the way. He made it with one man and one woman from birth. And so to love your spouse is to love them in this way, the agape way, for a lifetime. To love your neighbor. To love your neighbor is to love them in the understanding of they are a person made in the image of God. And your responsibility is to love them into the kingdom. Not just to say, hi neighbor, nice lawn. Hey, nice new car. You're supposed to be loving them into the kingdom. Loving your neighbor. Now here's one more, to love your enemy. This is a harder one, but what it really means, the agape love for them, is to be compelled toward their benefits rather than yours. Man, I don't know about that one. I really think my ways are more important than my enemies. But Jesus said something different. In fact, he lived that love out. He gave us the understanding of loving us while we were yet sinners, and he dies for us. This is a powerful visual. See, Christ did exactly what he tells and teaches us to do. And so to know the greatest love, we understand that sometimes as what? 1 Corinthians 13. Everyone been to a wedding and hear 1 Corinthians 13? Love is patient, love is kind, and he goes on and never fails. It's, you know, does not envy. I mean, that's a pretty powerful list. But I may be compelled to you, the real chapter of love in the Bible is 1 John chapter 4. Why don't you go ahead and hold your place in Ephesians chapter 5 there. Head over to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm just going to read a part of it, 7 through 11. But the whole chapter is really a powerful move. John, the disciple who knows about being a loving disciple, writes this, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It's an action of selflessness. It's giving of yourself completely. And that is not in the emotional realm. And so we fall short, because real love only comes from God. And walking in the love of God is the only way to really love. So this is numero uno in God's desire, summa cum laude, as far as he's concerned, of how we are to act as Christians. This is it. Put it at the top of your what-to-do list this week as a Christian. It is to love one another. To walk in love. Loving as Christ compels us, because he loved us first. This love is the very reason that we came to Christ. Do you understand that? Because in some way, some form, if you know, whether it be your family, wonderful, whether it be some sermon that you felt the presence of God in a powerful way, whether it be a friend who witnessed to you, whether it be a tract that you read, the good news of God, the love of God came upon you and overwhelmed your hard, stony, cold heart and lit you down into a place of melting. And you realize there's a love greater than I know. And you got back up. And you said, I want that. That's why you came to Christ. It was because of his love. So it must be number one on our list to pass on to others so that they can come to Christ. God, help us for all the people we passed by and didn't say what we knew we should have said. I'm not saying you got to say everything to every person you see. You understand that. But you do know, we all understand that time when we were supposed to open our mouth. And we didn't. And we didn't. Now, beloved, God has a way of dealing with that. Don't worry about, you didn't send anybody to hell. But it does quicken our hearts to realize, to hear this message and say, I want to do better. And so when someone receives that love because I did open my mouth, it should be a direct connection for them to see you as a Christian and God's love in some miracle that happens that I want whatever you have. I don't even know. I know you're not perfect, but I see something beyond you. And the love that you're giving out is the proof of your maturity. John 13:35 says it's proof of your disciple, that they will know you are my disciples if you love one another. So John 13:35 says. A little bit before in 1 John in chapter 3, you don't have to go there, but it says in chapter 3, verse 14 of 1 John, it says, We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. In 1 Peter, I'm just giving you a few here in case I'm not making my point here. 1 Peter 1:22 says this, since you have purified your souls in obedience in the truth through your spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. This love should be not only affecting others, but it should affect us every day. Every day we wake up and that love and that mercies that are new each day, and we wake up and say, God, what do you have for me? I can't even believe this. Does everybody wake up that way, by the way? I don't. And I get it. So it has to be a conscious choice. So it has to be, there we are, has to be a conscious choice sometimes to be able to believe the truths over like what we just heard in that video and that man's illustration about the other voices that we hear. Don't you know your life is a train wreck? Don't you know your kids aren't listening? Don't you know I have your kids, says the devil. And he's lying, because if you are a prisoner, or if you are a faithful believer of Christ, nobody can stand in the prison of Satan, and you are to believe and go forth and see the power of God in your faith. And you accept that love and you say, I believe you today, God. I believe it today. So it's not always that easy, but sometimes we just have to understand that our disposition, our conduct has to fall in line with the truth. So we walk in love. Here's the perfect example, by the way, is Jesus. Anybody who really wants to know how that all works, go read the red letters, go read the Gospels, and you will see exactly how it's supposed to work. Jesus Christ is the epitome of the perfect love that we are to walk in. So we walk in love. Next we see here in the Word, verse 8, it says, for you were once darkness, but now are light in the world, in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Point number 2, walk as children of light. Boy, Pastor, you worked all week on that. I did. Walk as children of light. This command is reaching all the way through most of the body of this, so we're going to look at some of this quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. The understanding, first off, of biblical light, for those who may not know or understand, light and darkness, what are you talking about? What is this, Bill? Well, light in the Bible means this. It's righteousness. It speaks of God. It speaks of life. Dark speaks of Satan. It speaks of evil. It speaks of the absence of God. So in the beginning, the earth was dark and without form. It's void. The darkness was over, and so there was no God. And the absence of God is not that it's dark. It's just there's no God. There's no light. But what happens? The light comes in, and the darkness flees. It goes away. And so when you take away God, light, you are only left with wrath and darkness. Romans 13, head over there real quick, verse 12 and 13 says this, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. That's darkness. We're to be walking in the light. And he is commending to us the differences. So notice in verse 3, what does darkness look like? Well, let's look at it. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness. Don't even let it be named among you. Don't even make it look like you're doing. 4, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, No, don't do that. He says, give thanks. Don't be participating in that joke of whatever it is, this nastiness that people talk about. Don't listen to that and don't respond to that. Give thanks instead. Verse 5, for this you know that fornication again, an unclean person, covetousness again, an idolater, idolatry is as witchcraft. It's a form of worshiping another god. And so understanding when we make anything in the world more important than God, work, cars, money, it doesn't really matter, even religion, you're putting a place in God's relationship that he has asked for you to open up to. And so as we receive the relationship that he gives, now let's look at what light is described at in verse 9. Fruit of the Spirit is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 10, he goes on to give us more light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You're looking in the scriptures. You're seeing what's wrong with me and what's right in there, and I'm correcting the path. In verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't be unequally yoked. Indeed, in relationship, don't be doing that. And so we get the source of the light, which is the most important part of this scripture. Verse 14, therefore, capital H, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you the light. He is the source. In fact, if we understand what the Bible teaches about heaven, right? Is there any sun or stars or streetlights or LEDs in heaven? Everybody say no. No, because the Bible says that Jesus is the light. And this light is so awesome that it goes and permeates everything. It's not like even the light that we have. It is a holy, pure, awesome, powerful light. And he says, I am the light of the world, but he is the light of heaven. And that's all you're ever going to need when you're up there worshiping the Almighty God. How awesome to think of who he is. So walk in love, maturing and walking in light as children of light. Here's the last one. Verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, when I first saw that, you know, I'm kind of like, I think of words, you know, picture words. So I'm thinking circumspectly. You know, I'm kind of like, what does that mean? Is anybody like, what is circumspectly? Circles, right? Walking in circles. That doesn't make sense to me. So I looked it up. They have dictionaries and stuff. So I checked this out. And that really, it really means to walk prudently. I like that. Prudently. To be aware of your surroundings. So it's looking around as you're walking, knowing all that's around you. You know, when me and Robbie went to go to that church down the road that gave a seminar on how to keep a church safe, the man would teach at the end. He said, one thing we all have to understand is to, when you go into places, be aware of your surroundings. Look for the exits. Look who the people are that are around you. Know what's where you can go under and where you can escape. Do you understand spiritually is the same? Look for the escape. Look for where the power is and the light and where the darkness is and where I can hide away from it and then get out of that whatever it is you got into. Because the devil sets a lot of traps. Circumspectly in today's world means we have to practice awareness spiritually. The violence and the terrorism that's everywhere has to be understood spiritually. I'm not going to react to some people and their emotions. I'm going to step back and I'm going to see that they are a person made in the image of God and see how can I talk to them in a loving way to reach them for Christ. And if they aren't responding, then I know how to get out. See, walking circumspectly has my eyes open to the needs of others. Walking circumspectly means I'm sensitive to the will of God. Walking circumspectly means I'm alert to the signs of the times. And you cannot do that being a cultural Christian. The only way to do this is to be a biblical, on fire, Holy Spirit-filled believer of Jesus Christ. That's just how it is, loved ones. This isn't something that I can just gather along and put it in my pocket and say, I'll get that out when I need it. So one who's walking spiritually circumspectly is one that's seizing the opportunities. You know how many opportunities there are to advance the kingdom of Christ around you just this week alone? And the one that's coming up? Dozens and dozens and dozens. And you're not going to get them all. But if you get just a fraction every week, my word, how we can go forward as we be ambassadors for Christ. And this world will throw all sorts of distractions at you. It will come at you as this time is just too short. I don't have the time, and I've got to get over here. Don't you know my appointment's coming up, and I've got to get in study in my sermon, and I got to get all this done. And whoa, I want to be sensitive to the will of God for people. Souls are at stake, loved ones. Souls are at stake. The situation is serious. Do I have to turn on the TV for more than 1 second or open my phone up for 1 second to see the chaos that this world is in and the darkness that has shown itself? Once you take away the love of Christ, all you have left is darkness. And so the call goes out to you this morning. How is your walk? How is your walk? Some might say here, listening or sitting here, Bill, I don't know even if I've started walking, because I have to be born before I could be able to walk. So my concern for you is, do you know the gospel? Do you know the good news? Loved ones, there's a God, and He's given Himself to the world as an opening to salvation. But why? Because of sin. And I just talked about that very clearly. Adam and Eve sin. Your parents sin. We all one race. We came from Adam and Eve, and every one of us inherited that same sin nature that Adam and Eve had, that was disobedience, and it brought forth death. And the good news of the gospel is that so many generations after Adam and Eve, the second Adam came. And He said, just the same as Abraham believed by faith, that if you come to Me by faith, that I am the bread of life. I am the living waters. I am going to be the sacrificial Lamb of God. And He hung on that tree. His name was Jesus. And He was God. And He lived that perfect life. He hung up on that tree as a curse. And anyone who believes on Him and repents of their sin and their way of thinking and their philosophies and embraces Him and begins to crawl and be fed a bottle of milk, by faith you will be saved. And one day you can start walking. Before you who are saved and you have been walking in Christ. And I want to take another step. My call to you is, loved one, walk in love. Loved one, walk in the light. And loved one, walk in alertness, circumspectly. There's too much work to do and too little time. Anyone who needs prayer, you can come forth and we can pray with you. But I'm just going to lift us up as a congregation as we bow our heads. Father God, I thank You for the word that comes here in Ephesians. It tells us how to walk. Lord, mature us. Help us to grow. Help us to not be complacent about what we know already, because we've been doing this for umpteen years. Set a fresh fire below us. Let us know, no matter what our age, no matter what our maturity level, that we're ready to walk another step, and we need You, God. And so affect our souls, affect our hearts, and affect our minds, and let the words come forth that need to go forth in the world. Let us correct what we need to correct, and then be emboldened to be a firebrand for You, God. We give You all the praise. We give You all the glory. I pray peace over each one of these souls here and their households. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.